The perfect precision of the stars and planets has been a constant amazement to astronomers. All seem to move in perfect obedience to a law of nature. Yet one planet, in reality, is a defiant rebel against the order of the universe. Stay tuned for the amazing facts. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Our subject today is going to be one of the sweetest and greatest that could ever occupy the attention of mortal beings. I wish I could understand more about the love of God. Somehow, when we stand on the threshold of this subject, we seem to be standing on the shore of a boundless, fathomless ocean. You know, God's love is indeed a divine mystery. We understand what's been done for us, of course. We know that we've been redeemed. We realize that an escape has been made for us when there was no way of escape. And yet, the question rings in our hearts, why did he die for us or for me? Really, that's what we ought to think about, friends. It's not that he came to die for a whole world or a whole planet. Really, he came to die for just one person, if necessary. And that person might have been you or it might have been me. We're overwhelmed when we try to find a reason for the self-sacrificing manifestation of God's love for us. In the words of the poet, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky a parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor would the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Do you know what it really meant for Jesus to come down from heaven to live and die for us in this earth, friends? After all, he was the Creator, not a mere creature. He didn't need to bow to anybody. His law actually ruled the universe. It was his hand which hung those billions of stars and suns and planets in space. Oh, friends, we need to understand that Jesus was the Creator. The Bible explains in many places that it was through Jesus that God made everything that was made in this entire world and in the universe itself. We can't appreciate the greatness of our God until we see the infinitesimal fraction of space that our little world occupies in this great scheme of things. Giant telescopes reveal billions and billions of other worlds much greater and more massive than our own. And all these worlds move in precise, orderly fashion, obedient to the laws of the universe as they hurtle through space. Yes, God spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Not one star out of place. Everything in perfect orbit throughout the whole solar system and throughout the universe. And this earth is just a mere speck of dust in comparison with the other created bodies. Why, it could almost be overlooked. And yet, out of all the billions of systems that God made, this little earth became a prodigal. This one speck of cosmic dust became a rebel in God's wonderful plan. The whole Milky Way system obeyed, but this earth disobeyed. Billions of other stars and worlds moved at his bidding, but one renegade tiny world defied the law of God. Now somebody might say, well, so what? There were countless others who didn't rebel and disobey, and God surely wouldn't miss this one tiny world. But friends, he did, and that's a wonderful part of the story that I'm telling you today. This same great God and Creator not only was interested in one world, but in one single individual as well. Think of that for a moment. He could have blotted this little world out of existence. In fact, I'm sure this is exactly what you would have done had you been the Creator. And I'm sure that's what I would have done. Had you been the object of this rebellion, you would have simply destroyed the world, created 1,000 new worlds to take its place where the inhabitants would have been grateful and obedient. But God so loved the world that he didn't do that, friends. Instead, he came down and surrendered himself into their hands, into the hands of those rebels. He loved them freely. Can you understand why he stood weeping over Jerusalem on that special occasion? Why should Jesus weep for them? Had he not given them every opportunity to be saved? They wouldn't listen to him. They didn't want him to be their ruler. Surely now he can just go back to his throne in heaven and forget about the people who wouldn't accept him. No, no, my friends. Jesus could not give up a single soul for whom there might be some ray of hope. He would go to the very limit to provide a way of escape. And so he permitted himself to be taken by them and crucified by them. Just think, how could the Father look down on that terrible scene? There were men, unworthy to touch the hem of Christ's garment, beating him and smiting him, the very Son of God. Angels must have veiled their faces at the horrible sight. Heaven must have been stilled of its music as this ignominious attack was made upon the Son of God. Surely now he can see that this is enough. Surely Christ can see how unworthy and undeserving they are. And surely now he'll leave them and go back to heaven and forget about this world. Go back to the worship of those billions of angels. No, no, friends, he would not see one soul lost who would like to be saved. And so we see him led from the hall of Pilate, weakened and emaciated. We see him receive that heavy cross on his bleeding shoulders. We hear the cries of hatred as they ascend while Jesus struggles toward Calvary. Even the earth itself shudders in horror at the sight. The sun hides its face from that unspeakable scene. My friends, nothing in this universe is stronger than love. Christ was God, and God is love. It was love that fainted beneath the cross that day. It was love who prayed for his murderers. It was love who felt the thorny crown upon his brow. Listen, those hands that were stretched out and pierced that day, they were the same hands that had fashioned the worlds. Those were the very hands which had begotten life in so many people as he trod the paths of this earth. Why was he there now, on that cross of shame and humiliation? Oh, it was that same mysterious love that we cannot understand, that we cannot possibly begin to comprehend. He did it for you, and he did it for me. His thoughts were not now on those other billions of worlds that he had made. He was now dying for individuals. He was dying for just one soul, even, should that one soul be the only object of his love. All men had forsaken him. Everyone had turned against him. Darkness surrounded him on that day. Now surely he could come down from the cross and say, "It's enough." No one could require him to carry through that last bitter drink from that cup of shame. But listen, it wasn't a requirement on the part of the Son of God anyway. He had volunteered for this assignment. He had come down willingly to take this cross and to die this death. And even on the cross, he loved them still. He would die for them, even though they spit on him, and would take his very life away. He would make it possible for them to live through the sacrifice that he was making. If that dying thief had been the only soul in all the world, Christ would have chosen to still hang there. And if you had been alone in accepting him, he would have come and passed through those experiences of pain. Is that possible, friends? Yes, indeed it is, for one tiny world and for even one wretched, miserable soul. And there I become very bewildered, because he would have done it even for me. Why? How? Love is the only answer. There's no possible explanation. Love unreturned, rejected, spurned. And do you think it lessened his love for them because of what they did to him? Oh, no, it just broke his heart, that's all. That's what actually killed Christ on that cross. Did you know that, friend? It really wasn't the spear thrust in his side or the nails in his hands and feet. Jesus died of a broken heart because of the sins of the world that would not receive him. That's what really killed him, friends. Those people who didn't love him. And every time you sin now, you add to that weight that crushed out his life on that cross long ago. No doubt Jesus could look down through the ages. He could see all of us as we are today, this very day. He could see every sin that fills the life of individuals today. And it was those sins that caused him to expire on that cross. And every time we sin willfully, we crucify the Son of God afresh today. Do you realize that, friends? Do you know something? Jesus didn't really die the same way that we do. He didn't die the same kind of death that we do. He actually was dying the second death, the kind of death that people suffer in that lake of fire in punishment for their sins. You see, Christ had to take the place of those people who would be lost and pay their penalty on the cross. And that was separation from God. That was a second death. What a terrible experience that was. He was the only one who ever passed through that agonizing experience of being totally separated from his Father and suffering the horrors of the second death. You know, I'll never forget reading the first time about a dream that the famous Scotch theologian Alexander White had. This man woke up one night in a terrible sweat of fear and torment. In fact, he was weeping. His wife, in fact, had to wake him up out of his sleep because he was crying out in apparent torment. And she said, "What's the matter, Alex? What's the matter?" "Oh," he said, "Mary, I had a terrible dream. I dreamed I stood in Pilate's judgment hall. And I saw Jesus brought in there before that tribunal. And I saw them strip him down to the waist. And I saw this cruel Roman soldier come up there with a long, wicked lash in his hands. And he began to beat Jesus. And he said, I watched as that great whip came down once. And then it came down twice. And then I could stand it no longer. He said, I sprang forward and I gripped the arm of that soldier. And I held on to it as tightly as I could. And then suddenly he said, Mary, this soldier turned around and looked me in the face. And oh, he said, it was I was the soldier. I was the one beating my Lord. And Alexander White broke down and wept bitterly in the night as he remembered that terrible dream. Oh, friends, if we could only be impressed as vividly ourselves that our sins will crucify the Son of God afresh. May God help us to confess our sins and to accept Jesus as our Savior and to have our sins washed away in the blood of Christ so that they will not stand against us, so that we shall not share in the sin that killed Him there on that cross of Calvary. Oh, I pray that God will bless you today, friends, as we close this broadcast, as you think of Him there hanging on that cross and giving His life in place of yours in order that you might live the life that He deserves.